Well, good evening to you. Good afternoon. Glad to see all of you here tonight. Oh, yeah, I look up at the clock tonight. And, woo! Man, Glenn, I'm in high cotton now. 40 minutes. I don't know what to think about that. But no, our lesson will not be 40 minutes long this evening. In fact, the lesson tonight that we're going to be delivering is a very practical lesson and a very easy lesson. Y'all know me. I'm not the smartest guy in the world anyways, and so I need to do simple things. But hopefully, as we look at some things from the Scriptures tonight, there will be some things that will help remind us of what's important in our spiritual life and as we are going about our day-to-day activities. I want to call your attention to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. I don't know if we've got the PowerPoint pulled up or not for this evening. But in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it's a passage of Scripture that you're all very familiar with. And if I were to ask you to quote it, you'd be able to quote it right along with me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, that's a beautiful passage of Scripture, isn't it? And there's a lot of passages of Scripture that we read about that stick with us a little bit more than others, maybe. And this is one of those particular passages of Scripture. I mean, there are some passages of Scripture, let's just be quite honest, we don't remember those. I mean, how many of you remember all of the genealogies in some of the books of the Bible? I'm not suggesting they're not important or that they can't be of value or you can't learn something from them, but there are some passages of Scripture that we read that just seem to stick with us a little bit better than other passages of Scripture. And maybe all of you have a favorite passage. I'm not suggesting that this is necessarily my favorite passage in the Scriptures, but sure is a beautiful passage and a powerful passage, and it helps us. In fact, we exalt some of the passages that I'm talking about in song. And I would encourage us to learn some of these songs. I mean, many of you know the song, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God and His Righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. You know, if you think about some of these songs that exalt these verses of the Scripture, you could probably put those together. And if you are interested, and here's our last leader's kickoff, Tony, you were talking about this morning. If you'll learn some of those songs, of those passages that we exalt in music, probably have your centurion of Scripture. And you could sing unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. I will call upon the Lord. You think about all these devotional songs that we sing. Guess where they're from? Those are Bible verses. They're Bible verses. And every one of you could put together a list of those songs, and you could learn those Scriptures, find out where they are in the Bible. But those are special verses that help us each day that we live in. We sing about those verses, and we exalt them in song. They're special. They're power-packed. And that's one of these verses tonight. You know, we just think about this text, and it has such a special message for us. And what I want to do is I want us to explore four thoughts from this verse tonight. And I'm telling you, it's not going to be a lengthy sermon, and it's not going to be a very, very deep sermon, but I hope it'll be a sermon that will cause you to think about your life. The four things that I want to think about first is this. First thing I want to do is this. I want us to think about the person that is discussed there in that particular passage of Scripture. The person that's discussed there is you. If you look at the King James, it says, seek ye first. Well, guess what? That's one of those old English words that King James for you. You seek first the kingdom of God. Seek that first, all of you. So you're the person that's discussed there in that particular passage of Scripture. Now, when you think about that, and it helps you understand, someone can't seek the kingdom for you. It has to be your responsibility. Jesus says, you seek first the kingdom of God. You can't put this off on your parents. You can't put this off on your friends. They can't be dragging you along in your faith and in your Christianity. It has to be your faith. It has to be you that's seeking. Now, we talked this morning about seeking, and we referenced this passage from Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, as Tony mentioned it, about Jesus, how He had come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, Jesus is seeking for each and every one of us. He's looking for, He was coming so that He could find those that wanted salvation and offer that salvation to them. He's seeking every one of us diligently. And He wants us to be seeking Him diligently as well. You know, we mentioned this morning also, before our Bible classes, Hebrews chapter 10. I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 10. I want us to look at this passage of Scripture again as it pours into Hebrews chapter 11. And here the Hebrew writer says, "But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one." Now you think about who Paul is addressing here. He's addressing these people, these Hebrews that he's writing to. And look at all of the things that they've had to endure as a result of their faith that he's discussing here. He says, you have struggled, you have had sufferings, you have been publicly exposed, you've been exposed to reproach and to afflictions. You have been partners with people that have been treated just like that. You've had your property plundered. But you accepted it how? You accepted it joyfully. Why? Because you knew that there's something better. There is something better. And that's what he talks about. He says, you had a better possession and an abiding one. You know what that means? It means that those people were more in line with the things that God wanted than they were concerned about the things of this world. These were people that were seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And it doesn't matter if my property's been plundered. It doesn't matter if I'm suffering reproach. It doesn't matter if everybody in the town or the neighborhood likes me or appreciates me or respects me or thinks I'm a good guy. No, I'm not concerned about what everybody else thinks about me necessarily. I want them to think good things about me. I want them to believe that I'm a Christian and I'm trying to help them. But it's not about a popularity contest, folks. I'm not concerned about my popularity. If they don't like what I'm having to say, if I'm speaking the truth and I'm trying to share God's Word and they don't like that and they persecute us and we suffer affliction, it's okay. And if they plunder our property or if they are persecuting us in some physical way, he says what? It's okay. These people recognized that the most important thing was to seek first the kingdom of God. He says, therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come, and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Now, we go into Hebrews chapter 11. And you go to verse 6, and he says there, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently, what? Diligently seek him. Who diligently seek him. It is you seek first the kingdom of God. Brother Neil Smith, this past Tuesday, he did our little devotional, our Devo and Donuts, and he was talking about wholehearted service to God. Talked about following God with every bit of our being, with our whole heart. Well, that's what this is talking about too. When you talk about seeking God diligently, that is to seek Him with your whole heart. And that's pleasing and acceptable to God. But it has to be you that's doing it. Can't be something that you pass off to somebody else. Can't be your family's faith. Can't be your friend's faith. It's got to be you. You've got to be the one that's seeking God. Second thing I want us to notice is this. Priority. The person's you. The priority is that it has to come first. It has to come first. Now when you think about that, and you think about our lives, how many of us are guilty of giving God what's left? Not what's first. All of us have things that we have to do during the day. All of us have jobs. All of us have responsibilities in a domestic way. And I understand that in a lot of senses, some of these things overlap. If we are to be godly people, we take care of our family. We love them. We work heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. So whatever it is that I'm doing at my work, I need to be doing it as I were trying to please God. And so some of that overlaps. But a lot of times what happens is we go to our jobs and we go to our recreational activities and we go to the different things that we have to do. And guess what? We get to the end of the day and we are so exhausted, we just don't have time for Bible study and prayer. And then we try to, at the very end of the day, maybe open up a book of the Bible and to read a few passages of Scripture, but our eyes are so heavy and we're so exhausted and tired, we get through about two or three verses and we're gone. And then we wake up the next morning, man, I had good intentions, I'm going to try to do it again tonight. And we get involved with life and things just begin to squeeze God out. And I think we've all been guilty of that. I know that there have been days like that for me in my life. And boy, I regret them every time that I have a day like that. And I think to myself, you know what? I just didn't put God first today. He got what was left, and that's not right. That's the way it is, though, sometimes, right? You got to seek God first. We can't just seek Him in our spare time. You know what? So I'm going to have a few hours today. I may dedicate those to the Lord today. Well, I'm not saying that's not a great idea. Yes, sir. I'm going to give Him a couple hours today. Hadn't had a chance to give Him much this week. I'm going to give Him what's left. A lot of times we do that when it comes to our giving of our resources, and it certainly happens in regards to our giving Him our time. He does not take first priority in many cases. So we can't do it in our spare time. We can't seek it when it's just convenient for me. When I have a convenient season or a convenient time, I'll take some time and I'll do some of that. That'll be convenient. I can work you in right here in this time slot. We try to give God that kind of time. We do that, don't we? Sometimes we work, you know what? Whew. God, let me see if I can pencil you in right here. I'm going to pencil you. A lot of people do that when it comes to their attendance to services, maybe. And they feel like that is seeking God first. You know what? I'm going to pencil God in. I'm going to give Him that hour, maybe 2 hours on Sunday. I'm going to pencil Him in for that. If I'm late, it'll be 45 minutes. We schedule God. And I'm not suggesting that you can't order your day so that you make sure that you have time for God. I'm not saying that. But what I am suggesting is a lot of times we do that as a last resort and not as a first priority. He just gets what's convenient and what's left over. And we're told that He should get the first of my life. I want to say this, and I hope that as I say it, and I thought about it, and sometimes when I say it, it sounds really good in my head, and it comes out just right, and sometimes as I'm thinking about it and trying to say it, I think, you know, that doesn't sound right. Have you ever had that happen to you? You know, this is what I'm wanting to try to get across, but sometimes I may not say it as eloquently as I need to say it, but what I want to say is this, folks. Everything about our life needs to have God at the forefront. Everything. And so when you think about your day, you think about how work can be a glory to God. You think about how can I be a glory to God when it comes to this recreational activity? Or how can I be a glory to God when I'm doing things with my family or spending time? God has to be at the very top, and everything has to be viewed through that lens, not the other way around. And so when you think about this passage, you are the person, and God has to be first priority. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, that leads us to our third point, and that's our purpose. That's our purpose. We got the person, you. We got the priority first, and then our purpose is to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, we've talked about this before. We all need a purpose in our life, don't we? If people don't have a purpose in their life, then they are just out there. They're floating. They're drifting. They have no direction. And many times, this leaves them lonely and disappointed. That's not what we should be. There is a purpose for us in life. God wants us to seek His kingdom. He wants us to serve Him. He wants us to be Christian. When you think about the Bible and you think about everything that we read about in God's Word, from the creation of the beautiful things that we see here to His establishing a kingdom like Israel and setting up a place of worship through the temple and through the tabernacle with Israel to the history of the Jews, to the coming of Jesus, to every bit of that was for us. All of it. He made us a priority. And now, it should be our purpose in life to serve Him. The writer of Ecclesiastes said, "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." You know, I think about these parables found in Matthew chapter 13. You go to chapter 13, verse 45. It says, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it." We are supposed to be like that merchant. We are seeking that which is great and is greater than anything else that we can find here on this earth, something of great value, and we have found it, folks, in the kingdom of God. We have found it in the church. And that should be my purpose, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I appreciate something that Audie said one time. I don't know if Audie even remembers saying this. It's been years and years ago, but it stuck with me. It has stuck with me. Audie was talking about priorities. And he said, "Folks, our first priority has to be the Lord of this church. Has to be. The Lord in this church. That's our priority." And that's what he's saying here in Matthew chapter 6. "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." You know, I love this idea of righteousness and His righteousness. And you know why we're supposed to seek His righteousness? Because it's right. Does that make sense? Does that make sense, folks? Have you ever noticed that in that word righteousness at the very front is right? I'm not talking about politically. I'm talking about correct. At the very beginning of righteousness is right. God is right. His Word is right. And it's always right. Even when I don't understand why it is that He wants me to do what He's asking me to do or stay away from what He's asking me to stay away with, away from. It is right, and it's right all the time. And so we're to seek the kingdom of God, the church, and His righteousness, His rightness. And we need to do what's right in all of these circumstances. And that is our purpose in life. Serve God and serve our fellow man. So seek first the kingdom of God. And then finally, there's the promise. There's the promise. "And all these things will be added unto you." What had he been talking about in Matthew chapter 6 up to this point? Well, he'd been talking about how people get all concerned and worried about the things that exist on this earth. And he started in chapter 6, verse 19 by saying, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He goes on to say in verse 25, you know, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will put on. For your life, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And he talks about all these things that we get concerned with in life. And he says, but I'm telling you, if you will seek my kingdom, if you will put me first, if you'll seek my righteousness, all these things will be added to you. What? All the luxuries that I want? The nice bass boat that I've been had my eye on for years and years and years? Or that big house on it? No, you're not talking about the luxuries necessarily. What he's saying is these things that we need, I'll take care of you. If you do what's right, I'll take care of you. You think about the passage of Scripture in Psalm 37 and 25. Writer of Psalms says, I've been young and now I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. There's a promise from God that all these things shall be added unto you. And here's something else. Not just all those things, but also much more. Much more. More than we can possibly imagine or more than we could ever even appreciate. That's the promise that we have from God. Think about this passage of Scripture. Seek first you the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you've not been seeking the kingdom of God first in your life, it's now time for you to make God and His kingdom your priority. In order to do that, first of all, you need to become a citizen of that kingdom. And in order to do that, you need to respond to the invitation this evening that we're going to offer as we sing this invitation song. And you need to repent of your sins and confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized to wash away those sins added by the Lord to the church. Part of the kingdom. You will be translated out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. If it's a case, though, that you have been living your life and at one time you were on fire for God, but your zeal has waned and now God's not a priority to you in your life, He gets what's left. He's the afterthought. Then tonight's an opportunity for you to say, God, I don't want to live like that anymore. I want you to be first in my life. You can respond. We'll pray with you and for you. If you have a need this evening, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.